more than I do. If you don't like my terms, feel free to go.
You have very few alliances. You would benefit more from this than I would.
I didn't say I wouldn't benefit more from this than you. I just said I didn't want it as much as you do. As my history shows, collecting alliances has never been a particular interest of mine.
Until now.
Until Terran. Things change when you mate.
Yes, they do,
he allowed.
I have a condition of my own. I want to be able to call on Terran whenever I need a healer.
Uh-oh, thought Terran as she felt Trey's body tense. Both incredulous and irate, Trey leaned forward. Whatever the male saw on his face made them lean back. You honestly think I'll agree to you using her the way you have been all these years?
Lance had spoken about her like she was an object or tool that he would like to pick up when he felt like it. Of course, that was how he had always seen her and treated her. A growl built in the back of Trey's throat and sent vibrations down his chest. Lance swallowed hard in a nervous movement.
She's a powerful healer.
She's also a person. My mate. No one uses Terran like that. Not anymore.
The appearance of a tall brunette halted the conversation. Trey heard Terran groan and guessed this wasn't a friend of hers. He couldn't help noticing that everything about the female appeared to be false.
Alpha,
she said respectfully to Lance with a nod by way of greeting. Oscar cleared his throat.
We're a little busy here, Brody.
She waved her hand.
That's fine. I was just coming to say hi.
Then her eyes landed on Terran and she smirked evilly.
I'm guessing you must be lost to be in this place.
Terran smiled, though it wasn't pleasant.
Hating me won't make you pretty, Brody.
Anyone else might have been very careful how they spoke to the mate of someone like Trey Coleman, but one thing Brody always loved to do was make herself look the big, strong female in front of big, bad alphas. There were plenty of those in this place. And for some reason, this woman still hadn't realized that Terran wasn't quite the easy target that Brody thought she was.
I see your nose healed a little crooked.
Shame, that.
You broke her nose, baby?
Although Trey really didn't like that this female was confronting his mate, he knew not to interfere. To do that would be to undermine her own ability to take care of herself.
She wouldn't let me pass, and then she called me a freak. What was I supposed to do?
Yeah, okay. I suppose I could have just ignored her, but there wouldn't have been any fun in that. Brody snickered.
You only hurt me because I didn't fight back, she stated loudly, drawing the attention of everyone in the diner as they recognized her confrontational posture. It would be like picking on a disabled person, and I was raised not to do that.
Terran glanced around at all the onlookers inside.
So, you've decided to schedule some time to make a spectacle of yourself.
Honey, the person who should be embarrassed here is you. You're nothing but vapor to people like us.
It's laughable that you even walked through the door.
You know, Brody, you're like an STD. No one wants you, everybody hates you, and you're a reminder of the devastating consequences of not using protection during sex. Brody's over-tanned face flushed.
Very funny, aren't you, little freak?
As it happens, I have my moments.
Want to know what's even funnier?
Not really.
The idea of you as an alpha female of a pack. I honestly don't think I've heard anything as ridiculous as a latent running a pack. Except maybe for this rumor of you calming a feral wolf. We all know that was a nice little story you spread just to make others think your own strength matched that of your mate. If he even is your mate, which I'm not buying at all.
A growl escaped Terran, which had Brody jumping in surprise.
Frankly, I couldn't give a shit what you think, but disputing my claim to Trey, that I won't tolerate.
Her wolf was in full agreement.
Won't tolerate?
Said Brody, sounding amused.
What are you going to do? Insult me to death?
Too slow a method. Challenge me to a woman-to-woman fight, Brody. I dare you.
You don't know what you're asking, latent. How about I give you a taste of what you're dealing with?
She flung her alpha vibes at Taryn, intending for them to oppress and intimidate her. Instead of lowering her gaze submissively, Taryn retaliated by clotting the air with her own. As Taryn's alpha vibes smothered them, all like humidity in summertime, Trey realized something. That night, when she had hit his grandmother with them, she had held back. All she'd been doing was giving Greta a small demonstration of her strength, just to shut the woman up. This demonstration here and now was different. She was unleashing the full force of her wolf's alpha strength on Brody, making it perfectly clear that although she couldn't shift, her dominance, strength, speed, and power exceeded Brody's. In a woman-to-woman fight, Brody would be overpowered within seconds. Shit, if Trey wasn't hard as a rock right now at her display of dominance.
Come on, Brody, challenge me, urged Taryn. You've always liked an audience. Shall I kick your ass in front of one?
The terribly fake female let loose a low whine as she ducked her head, averting her gaze as a gesture of submission.
No? Then it might be best if you back the fuck off and scamper, don't you think?
Taryn's wolf was extremely disappointed when Brody did exactly that. Trey kissed her temple and ran his hand through her hair, hoping to soothe her wolf.
I'm surprised you didn't throw her at the wall like you did Selma.
Reining in her alpha vibes, she smiled at Trey.
Brody isn't one of your mistakes, so she gets to walk away without a cracked skull.
How did I miss it?
Asked Lance. Taryn arched a brow. You mean the fact that the female you've been sleeping with is about as smart as your toenail? He cast an annoyed look in Brody's direction, obviously unhappy about her making their sex life common knowledge.
How did I miss how strong your wolf is? Or I suppose a better question would be, why did you hide it?
I didn't hide it. I just didn't care to show you. He seemed genuinely confused that she hadn't wanted to impress him. I'm not interested in having the approval of people I don't respect, and I'll never beg for scraps from anyone's table. You just never got that. For the first time ever, there was an element of respect in Lance's eyes as he regarded her.
But you're not going to fight this alliance?
This here and now isn't about making friends or building bridges. This is politics, pure and simple. Us being related by blood has no relevance because, as unfortunate as it is, there's just no emotional bond there. It was a sad, simple truth, delivered with a shrug. It hurt more than she would ever admit or let him see.
I underestimated you quite a bit, it seems. You two suit well. You make a good alpha pair.
After a heavy sigh, he asked irritably,
Okay, Coleman, what exactly are you willing to agree to?
Like I said, if there's a situation that requires you to call on your alliances, then you'll have my support. In other words, I don't mind being a part of a solution to your problems, but I won't have you doing your name-dropping thing and using me as a deterrent to the beginning of any problems. And there'll be no using Taryn.
Out of curiosity, if you didn't consider me such an awful protector, where Taryn's concerned...
Then we wouldn't even be having this conversation. My allegiance would be automatic and have no limits.
And Trey sincerely meant that. Maybe it was petty of Taryn to be enjoying that, but for just once in her life, her dad was regretting his treatment of her. Not because he cared about her, true, but because it had cost him in a political sense. Something more important to Lance Warner than anything else.
How's that karma tasting, Daddy dearest?
A little sour, I'll bet. Lance simply gave her an impatient look.
I'll agree to your terms,
he said to Trey, albeit a little begrudgingly. Trey looked at Taryn.
All of that okay with you, baby?
He knew he'd surprised her by asking for her input, but she didn't let it show on her face.
One last thing, she said to Lance.
Because of your attitude toward me growing up, a lot of people saw it as their right to target me just for fun. Don't think that if they decide to do it again, like Brody, I'll back down just because of the alliance. They shouldn't challenge me unless they're damn positive they can take me. I'm an alpha female of a pack, which means any attack on me is an attack on the pack, and I won't ignore one. Lance gave her a sharp nod.
I'll make sure the pack understands this.
Good. After draining the last of the coffee from her cup, Taryn said, Shall we go then, Trey?
Sure, baby.
They all rose, and then Trey took the hand that Lance extended and shook it once.
Until we next meet.
Oh, wait!
He gave Perry a subtle signal, and the enforcer dug a bulging sports bag from under the table and handed it to Taryn. She didn't take it, just raised a brow at Lance, hoping for an explanation.
You know what your mother was like for saving money. She began a fund to give you a kickstart when you made it. Obviously, there would have been more in it had she not died.
Tentatively, she took the bag. There's money in here?
$25,000.
$25,000? She echoed quietly, more than a little stunned. It struck her that he could have just kept the money for himself, knowing she'd be none the wiser. Why are you giving me this? It sure wasn't because he cared for her.
I'd never ignore the wishes of my mate.
Come on, baby.
Giving a slight nod to Lance, Trey draped his arm over her shoulder and kept her close to him as they walked side by side from the diner, with Dante and his enforcers trailing behind them. Trey kept her just as close when they slid into the back seat of the Toyota, sensing that she was feeling a little off-kilter due to the bag, which she was staring at as if it were a ticking bomb. He gave her the comfort she needed and would probably never have asked for, running the tips of his fingers along her bare upper arm and rubbing his jaw along her temple.
Well, does it feel good to finally have the alliance you've been wanting so badly? She asked, forcing her gaze away from the bag.
She wouldn't have thought being given a gift from her mom would have made her feel anything but incredibly happy, but this particular gift had had a purpose. Her mom had been starting a fund for her so that when Taryn and Joey were ready to begin their life together, they would have some money to help them along. And that was why Taryn was, as unreasonable as it might be, feeling guilty for taking it. Her mom hadn't scrimped and saved this large amount of money to help Taryn along with a fake mating while she declared to all who'd listened that Joey hadn't been her true mate. The woman had been a hopeless romantic and wouldn't have seen Taryn's mating with Trey as resourceful. She would have viewed a mating based around a deal that brought mutual benefit to both parties as a mockery of what mating was all about. She would have been right.
Yes,
Trey answered carefully, hearing a difference in her tone that told him she'd withdrawn a little. His wolf growled, not liking it any more than Trey did. He nuzzled her hair and cuddled her closer. She didn't resist him, but she didn't melt into him either. He nipped the tip of her ear. She jolted and scowled at him.
Don't freeze me out, he insisted in a low, calm voice.
She sighed. It feels like I've accepted it under false pretenses. Hell, I have.
Not exactly. Your mom may have intended to give it to you and your true mate, but I don't think she'd begrudge you having it just because you made it with someone else.
Of course she wouldn't have, if the mating had been real.
This is real, Taryn, he growled.
Yeah, I know. I mean, if we'd mated with the intention of actually staying together, if we had feelings for each other. Now that's something she would have understood, because she was all about love and romance and all that stuff. Not this, though. She wouldn't have understood this. She would have mated with Roscoe before renouncing her true mate.
The fact that you didn't doesn't make you a coward, Taryn, he firmly stated, knowing that was where her thoughts had taken her. Like you said, she was one of those romantic people. You're more of a practical thinker like me. Practical thinkers aren't so much into self-sacrifices. They prefer solutions. And you're not someone who's prepared to wait around with the belief that life will hand you a solution. You go looking for one.
She smiled a little bit, but still looked troubled.
You don't have to spend it. You don't even have to open the bag. Put it away with your shoebox. She'd be happy enough about that, right?
Her smile widened then, and he felt a pang in his chest. Nodding, she finally relaxed into him, pleasing both him and his wolf. As with all those other chest pangs he'd been feeling recently around her, he automatically ignored it.
Ah, oh, come on, Taryn, don't get all glum on us, pleaded Dominic. I tell you what, Why don't you come here and let me give you a great big hug? You can sit on my lap and we'll talk about the first thing that pops up.
Ignoring Trey's growl, the gorgeous blonde pervert added,
I'll even let you rub my lucky scrotum. Ow!
He still had the nerve to chuckle when Trey smacked him over the head. When they returned to Pack territory, they found everyone waiting in the living area for news of how the meeting went.
Well, prodded Trick. We got the Alliance.
Trey winced at the loud celebratory noises.
I checked the Pack web earlier, said Rhett. You've got more alphas requesting basic alliances. It really was a great idea to set up a Pack web.
Yep. Which means if it wasn't for Terran, we probably wouldn't have any of those alliances, said Marcus.
He grinned as she flopped into the recliner and wiggled her shoulders, hinting for him to give her the usual massage. As always, he obliged her. Greta snorted.
I still say you don't need them, or the hussy.
Terran looked at her with mock pity. Isn't it time for your nap yet, old Mother Hubbard?
Listen to her. She's never shown me any respect from day one. All common and no manners.
I just thought it was important that you felt comfortable around me.
Trey, you're going to be the laughingstock of all the other packs having a Leighton as an alpha female. Can't you see that? I'll bet she can, but she's got it good here, so she'll drag this out as long as she can, won't you?
Terran simply smiled. I tell you to stop having a hissy fit and act your age, but then you'd die. So, actually, maybe I should just...
Oh, yes, make your smart remarks now, but it won't be long until it's time for you to go, and then Trey will mate with a real alpha female. One who's not common and sarcastic, or disrespectful and slutty.
Come on, you have to admit I keep life interesting. Terran thought she had hidden pretty well just how Greta's last statement had stung. It was only the truth, though. Terran would leave. Trey probably would mate again, and the female he mated with for real would most likely be better suited to be an alpha female. And what would Terran be doing? Trying her hardest to find a pack that would take in a common, disrespectful, sarcastic, latent female. Hoping against hope that her uncle might have replied to her message, she excused herself and went up to Rhett's room to check her messages on the pack web. Her hoping paid off. Smiling, she skipped down the stairs and re-entered the living room. Hey, guess what? My uncle's been in touch through the pack web. Trey frowned.
Uncle?
The one whose pack I was planning to seek refuge at if all else failed.
Oh, right.
He's invited us to a mating ceremony that's taking place for someone in his pack a few weeks from now. That was a hell of a lot more than Terran had hoped for. She'd thought it might take a few web conversations before her uncle would be interested in them meeting up. An invite to a mating ceremony had definitely been unexpected.
Wait, start again? How does he know about us? Had he just noticed you on the pack web?
No, I got in touch with him. Trey did a double take.
What was that?
It seemed like a good idea to get to know him before I ask his alpha to take me in when our deal's over. Maybe if my uncle and I somehow bond, I'll have more of a chance. The way Trey's eyes had seemed to ice over, and his face had darkened to a purplish shade had her frowning. Why are you looking at me like I strolled into your house on your birthday and shat on all your gifts?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe because no one's supposed to know that we're not true mates.
Terran's mouth dropped open. You think I told him? You think I went back on our deal and told him all about it? A deathly silence filled the room, because everyone knew that questioning Terran's integrity was a very bad thing.
Awkward, muttered Dominic.
Seriously, you think I would actually do that?
No, actually, Trey didn't think she'd do something like that, but he tended to say stupid shit when he was pissed off. And hearing that she had been in touch with her uncle when he knew she was hoping to join the guy's pack had made his blood boil. It shouldn't have made his blood boil, because it shouldn't bother him that she would soon be leaving his pack, yet it did.
It just seemed unlikely that you'd try to fool him if you're planning to later ask him for a place in his pack. You think he'll actually take you in when he realizes you lied to him right to his face about us?
No, doofus.
she spat in a goofy voice. That's why I'm planning to say to him what I'll say to everyone else. That I was wrong about us, and that Joey was actually my true mate after all. Sure, it's going to make me seem a little nutty that I could mix up something like that, but it's a better fate than a life with Roscoe ever would have been. I figured that this might be good for you, too. That maybe you could get an alliance with my uncle's Alpha out of this. He must be at least willing to consider it, or he wouldn't have given my uncle permission to invite us to this mating ceremony. I've told him to expect us. Everything in Trey rebelled against the idea of Taryn going to that ceremony, of her building a bond with her uncle so she could leave. He knew she needed to leave his pack eventually. Logic even told him that the sooner she left, the better, because their separation would become harder the longer they were mated. But logic wasn't ruling just then. It was being overshadowed by a tangle of intense emotions that Trey didn't understand, all of which drove him to do one thing. Try to stop her from going to meet the other pack.
Look, Taryn, I'm going to have a lot of stuff going on in the next couple of weeks. I can't shove it all aside just to go to some mating ceremony of people I don't even know.
She stared at him for a minute. Fine. I'll take Dante or Marcus with me.
You don't think it would look both weird and disrespectful that I didn't go with you?
Of course it would. I'm still going.
Taryn, listen.
She took a step toward him. No, you listen, Flintstone. We made a deal, and I will live up to my part of it. At the end of this, you'll walk away with tons of alliances. Me? I'll have nothing, because I walked away from everything for this deal we made. I need to have somewhere to go. I'm not going to live the lone wolf lifestyle. My best bet is to get a place in my uncle's pack, even if it's only temporary. At least it'll be something. If you don't want to come with me to this ceremony and maybe try and get yourself an alliance out of this, then fine. But I will be going in the hope of increasing my odds of getting a place in that pack, because the alternative is taking a chance being out there on my own, and that's not acceptable to me. He could tell her the truth of why he didn't want her to go to the ceremony. He could, but now wasn't the time or the place. All right. That was, in fact, an excuse, but it was an excuse he was sticking to. Rather than piss her off any further, he went to her and tugged her to him.
I didn't think of it that way. If you want us to go, we'll go.
Really? She drawled, suspicion dripping from the word.
Really.
A nod. Okay. She squealed as he suddenly scooped her up and began strolling out of the room. What the hell are you doing?
No more talking. Really need to fuck.
And he really did need it. He needed to be buried deep inside her body, needed to be swimming in her scent, and needed the taste of her in his mouth. Only then would he be able to calm himself and his wolf. The thought of being separated from his mate had sent his wolf pacing and growling, fighting for supremacy. It had nettled Trey's mating instincts, playing on his protectiveness and possessiveness until all he wanted was to pin her down and bite her, remind her that she belonged to him. As for Trey the man, equal measures of infuriation and angst had shot through his blood, making anxiety curdle in his stomach. He told himself that if he hadn't mated with her, there would be no such anxiety whatsoever, that the separation wouldn't particularly bother him. In truth, he wasn't so sure that the man in him was still detached from the mating, or even if he ever had been. Now, this was one of the things Taryn would really miss about Bedrock, she thought with a smile as she sank into the luxurious bath. There was a brief stinging sensation as the hot water made contact with the fresh scratches and bites now coating her body, but it passed pretty quickly. Damn the bastard for branding her so thoroughly. How in the hell was she supposed to move on after this mating when his marks were all over her, serving as constant reminders of him? Maybe that was what he wanted, to make sure that she wouldn't be able to forget him. He might not particularly care about her, but the possessiveness that came with the mating was probably messing with his mind. She had no intention of telling him that he didn't need to brand her so completely to ensure that she remembered him. As much as it pissed her off, she couldn't change that she sort of, well, she really liked him. A voice in her mind insisted
That was an understatement, but Taryn ignored it. She didn't understand how she could like him so much. The guy could be so tactless and impatient. So remote and unapproachable. He was unbalanced. He had shitty communication skills. He thought apologies went in the form of oral sex, and he could brood with the best of them. And yet, she truly liked the guy. Naturally, her wolf was very pleased about that. Well, enough thinking about him. All she wanted to do right now was relax and soothe those aches that always came with the rough fuckings he gave her. She had a strong feeling that her manly mate wasn't going to be too happy about the smell of jasmine that now filled his bathroom, thanks to the soap Lydia had given her. Just the thought of that made her smile. Simple pleasures and all that stuff. She was so relaxed that she was beginning to wonder if she had entered subspace. So the little tapping sounds were just background noise to her at first. Soon, though, they penetrated her daze, pissing her off. The noises reminded her of when Shia used to throw stones at her window at night when they were teenagers, hoping to get her attention. She tried to ignore the incessant tapping. After a short while, though, they began to grate on her nerves.
"Trey?"
she called out, hoping to have him check out the noise.
"Anyone?"
Nothing, which meant she was going to have to see what the fuck it was herself. Fabulous. Muttering curses, she stepped out of the bath, wrapped a white fluffy towel around herself, and made her way into the bedroom. As she had suspected, something seemed to be tapping against the window. Still muttering curses, she stalked over to the window and pulled aside the curtain, and jerked back. What the fuck? Oh, no. That wasn't what she thought it was. It couldn't be. It just couldn't be. Having sensed her alarm and anxiety through the pack link, Trey came dashing into the room.
"What is it? What's wrong?"
And then he saw it. Slowly, he went to her.
Is that the raven you always talk to?"
Grinding her jaw, she nodded, close to tears at the sight of the beautiful bird now dead. Not just dead, but hanging upside down by some kind of string, his beak repeatedly tapping against the window as his body blew with the wind.
"I heard the tapping."
"Baby, come here."
Not giving her a choice, he pulled her to him and enfolded her in his arms.
"Somebody did that,"
she said through her teeth as shock and rage flooded her veins.
"I know," he said,
working to keep his voice soft or else his rage might feed her own.
"Somebody killed him and then hung him there like that for me to find."
"What happened?"
asked Dante as he, Tau, Marcus, and Trick came dashing into the room after having sensed their alpha's alarm.
"Shit! Is it dead?"
asked Trick.
"Why would someone—" "Shit, Taryn, is that your crow?"
Marcus supportively squeezed her shoulder as he moved toward the window.
"Looks like someone snapped its neck." "Who the hell would do something like that?"
Dante shook his head, sickened.
"Maybe the same person who vandalized her car," suggested Tau. "Maybe not. But it wouldn't surprise me."
Leaving Trey's arms, Taryn demanded,
"Out! Everyone out! Now!"
Dante nodded.
"I'll go get him down."
He gestured to the enforcers to follow him out of the room. Casting her sympathetic smiles, they reluctantly went.
"Baby, what are you doing?"
Trey asked as he watched her snatch clothes out of the wardrobe in a rush. She didn't answer, just began pulling on a blue cashmere sweater and tight-fitting jeans.
"Taryn,
someone did that to hurt me. They went to the trouble of hunting him down, catching him, killing him, and creeping around outside our cave to hang him upside down like that where I'd find him. I want to know who the sicko is, and I want to kick his ass."
Having slipped on her knee-high boots, she headed for the door. Understanding her need to retaliate, but not liking her hurting so bad, he dashed after her and wrapped both arms around her front, bringing her to a halt. Nuzzling her neck, he rocked her from side to side.
"Let me deal with this, baby. I promise you, as soon as I find out who's responsible, they're all yours."
Her voice came out flat.
Let go of me, Trey. Come on, you're upset and in shock. Let me deal with this for you.
She could sense that he was just as infuriated as she was, yet he was containing it all in the hope of easing her anger and hurt. It was sweet, but there was just no way anything could soothe her right now.
Let go.
Dabbing a soft kiss to her neck, he slowly released her. Before he could say anything, she was marching through the tunnels. He stayed at her heels as, to his surprise, she headed outside and down the flights of stairs.
Stay back,
she told him as they reached the bottom. Seeing that she was close to snapping, he stopped still and held up his hands in a white flag gesture. He had thought she intended to head to the river, as she had the last time she was upset. Instead, she paced a short distance away from him and looked up at the crowd that had gathered at the mouth of the caves.
So which one of you was it, huh?
She shouted, enraged beyond belief.
Which one of you was it?
No answer. They each looked from one to the other, but didn't move from where they were.
You have a problem with me? Then come down here. Come on. You and me, let's go.
Still, nobody moved. Pacing back and forth, she continued to shout,
I'm latent, remember? I can't possibly win. You think killing a bird, a small creature that couldn't even fight back, is brave? It's sick, and it's cowardly. If it's me you want, then get the fuck down here. I dare you. No, I challenge you.
Still, not one person moved from where they were.
Come on!
It's okay, baby, Trey said softly when no one spoke or reacted in any way. You know they won't come. Whoever it is knows they can't take you. Come here. It's okay.
No, it's not!
Slowly, he closed the distance between them and pulled her into the cradle of his shoulder.
Shh. Let's go inside.
The coward's not going to own up to it. When I find out who it is, there's a good chance I'll kill him.
I know, baby. And I'll be cheering you on, he said,
using the supportive words she had once given him. Chapter 11. Taryn's uncle and his mate were a lot warmer toward her than Trey had been expecting. They seemed pleased to see her, and they were happy and relieved to know that she was away from Lance. If her uncle had anything to do with it, she would definitely be welcome here if she asked to join the pack. In fact, the damn Alpha would probably be just as welcoming. He had been staring at Taryn for most of the evening, and it was seriously beginning to piss Trey off. Had she not made Trey promise to behave, he would have threatened to gut the ogling bastard. Even his promise to her wouldn't have stopped him if the Alpha hadn't been so careful not to cross any lines. It was only then, as he sat lounging on one of the reclined deck chairs, sipping beer and watching her play with some of the pups, that Trey realized he had secretly hoped that they would all be assholes who didn't care to know her. Without anyone to turn to, she could have been persuaded to stay with him a little longer, even after the battle with his uncle. Although he still had just over a month left with her, it didn't seem enough. For the past few weeks, he had tried convincing himself that it wasn't the man in him who wanted to prolong her stay. It was just his wolf, or his mating instincts, or maybe a mixture of both. Only a moron would continue to deny the truth, and Trey was a lot of things. But he'd like to think a moron wasn't one of them. The truth was that this wasn't about their wolves. This was about Trey and Taryn, and Trey wanted Taryn to stay a little longer. Of course, he hadn't told her that. He wouldn't tell her, because naturally the question she would ask would be, for how long? Unless his answer was going to be permanently, there was no reason for her to stay longer, because it would only make their separation worse. Where was the sense in that? There was none. Yet even as he acknowledged that, he couldn't change that he wanted more time with her. How could he not? Who wouldn't want more time with a woman who was so sensual and gorgeous? The quirkiness she had brought to his pack and his life was something he wouldn't have originally thought he'd want. But he knew that when it was gone, he would miss it. Just as he would miss their bedroom battles. She was so responsive, so challenging, and so damn receptive to everything they did.
Each morning, he would wake Taryn by gorging himself on her taste, and each night he would bury his cock deep inside her and fuck them both to sleep. Then he'd wake up sometime during the night and fuck her again. What guy in his right mind wouldn't want more of that? He grinned as his little vixen suddenly looked up and met his gaze. He didn't get his usual, come get me smile. It was more of a please rescue me expression, which had a lot to do with the crowd of kids still hovering around her. With all her energy and sparkle, she was like some sort of kid magnet. He might have gone to her, that was all it would have taken, to make the pup scatter, if the Alpha Nick hadn't chosen that moment to sit on the deck chair beside him.
I think he might end up with a house full of pups.
Trey winced inwardly at the feel of one of those damn chest pangs. Ignoring it, he forced a response.
You might be right.
You know, you're very intense with Taryn. I don't think you've moved your eyes from her for more than a few seconds since you got here.
Neither have you.
Nick smiled, unrepentantly.
Don't worry. She spent the entire time we spoke talking about you and your pack. Apparently, she has even developed a fondness of your grandmother. Though, she says she would still like to gag this senile old crone.
Trey was pretty sure that both women actually liked each other, although neither would ever admit it, because they enjoyed the battles of wills they engaged in too much.
I've always been very selective in who I form alliances with.
Trey grunted.
I don't believe I asked you for one.
All he really wanted was to punch the arrogant asshole for ogling Taryn. His wolf liked that idea. Nick only smiled.
The rumors about you are... worrying.
Then why invite us here?
Her uncle wasn't convinced that you're true mates. He believes her true mate died when they were pups. Don was worried that she had gotten herself into something dangerous and was looking for a way out.
Is that a fact?
Trey bit out.
Well, hear me when I say this. Taryn's my mate. She's mine. And I'll kill her interfering bastard of an uncle if he tries to take her from me. So either get out of our business or ask us to leave. Either one will please me just fine.
The weird prick smiled again.
I didn't say I agreed with him. If I hadn't seen you interact with Taryn the way you have tonight, I'm not sure I'd have been interested in forming an alliance between our packs.
Most likely, in response to Trey's questioning look, he added,
maybe you don't realize just how different you are with Taryn than anyone else. And she you. You're both much calmer when you're together. It's the way of it with mates. That's why I have no intention of interfering in spite of her uncle's concerns. And it's also why I believe you're not quite the rabid shifter everyone makes you out to be.
Hey, Nick, purred a husky voice that promised sex. Both males looked up to see a curvy, dark-skinned female standing before them, wearing practically nothing. Once upon a time, she might have interested Trey. Right now, she did nothing at all for him. He never would have thought he would have described breasts as too big, but they were. Not like Taryn's, which fit just right in his hands, like they were made just for him.
Is it time for the ceremony to start?
Asked Nick. Almost. Her eyes focused on Trey and she grinned wickedly. I'm Glory.
And you are?
Mated, snapped another female voice. So move your ass very far away.
A smile curved Trey's mouth at the sight of Taryn approaching, sneering and emitting a sexy low growl. He loved seeing her in possessive mode. He didn't blame Glory for her fast departure. Even he wouldn't be interested in fucking with Taryn right now. He'd happily fuck her, though, especially while she was wearing that little black dress that clung to her like a second skin.
I'd say I'm sorry for upsetting one of your wolves, but lying's a sin,
Taryn told Nick, who just smiled. Damn if the guy wasn't hot with his short, silky butterscotch hair, sensual mouth, and that set of piercing, dusky green eyes. Still, she preferred the dark, broody psycho beside him. Hey, Flintstone. Trey gave her a lopsided smirk as he appraised her for like the 100th time.
Come here.
She cocked her head. If I don't?
I'll chase you, catch you, and spank you in front of everybody.
Was that supposed to be a deterrent? Nick, now forgotten, Trey reached out and snatched her arm,
Pulling her on top of him, he licked her lips and she immediately opened up for him, flicking his tongue lightly with her own and conjuring images in his mind of her flicking her tongue along the head of his cock. Her sly grin told him she'd known exactly what she was doing.
"Careful," he warned.
"Where would the fun be in that?" Quietly, he replied.
"You're right. Fun would be if I forced you to get down on your knees and then shoved my cock in your mouth.
You could try, but I'd just bite it off. Maybe I'd heal it. I don't know." He chuckled, running his hands along her back.
"Such a snippy little bitch, aren't you?"
"I am, yes."
"Wrong. You're my snippy little bitch."
Brushing her hair from her face, he frowned.
"You look tired."
"I'm not surprised. I didn't get much sleep." He heard the implication in her voice.
"I'd say I'm sorry, but I'm not."
"You never are," she grumbled, still smiling. "So what have you been doing all the way over here while I was practically attacked by a swarm of pups?"
"I've been busy enjoying myself watching some gorgeous female."
"Ah, is that so? You'll have to describe this female to me so I can go kick her ass." Collaring her throat with his hand, he guided her head backward and slid his hand away so he could kiss and nibble at her neck.
"You can't miss her. She has all different shades of blonde in her hair."
"Poor girl."
"And the cutest ass."
He tapped it lightly.
"And a hot little body."
He smoothed the palm of his hand up and down her spine.
"And a very sharp tongue. Oh, and she has a wicked mouth that was made to take my cock."
"Stop kissing my very sensitive neck so I can think straight and respond with a sarcastic comment." She wouldn't let him know that, in truth, she had thought about it several times. Had wondered what it would feel like to take him in her mouth, how he would taste. But, and maybe she was alone in this, that one sexual act felt like an extremely submissive one. She was working on letting him lead in bed, but she wasn't sure she was ready to get on her knees before him and do what seemed like the ultimate surrender. It wasn't that she had never done it before. It was just that whenever she had done it in the past, it had been while she was the dominant figure in the relationship. Giving a guy a blowjob when she was supposed to be mostly submissive seemed like something else altogether, in which case it surprised her that she was even considering it. Just as it surprised her that, as much as the wolves in Nick's pack were great and as much as she could see herself being happy here if they accepted her, that didn't make her feel as relieved and excited as it should. No. Because she would miss Trey and his pack. She really had thought she was being careful not to get comfortable in the pack, knowing that her stay would be a short one. But with them being so warm and fun, with the exception of a few, and seeing her as more than a healer who was rather inconveniently latent, it was damn hard to keep an emotional distance from these people and the situation itself. If she were honest with herself, which she really didn't want to be, she had also stupidly gotten a little too comfortable in her temporary mating with Trey. His heavy masculinity gave the impression of a hard individual, but she had come to see that there was more to him than that. Sure, he could be aggressive, sullen, and psychotic, but he had demonstrated that he could also be attentive, reassuring, gentle, and even indulgent, or at least he could be with her. Not to mention how his sexual appetites matched her own. Without realizing it, she had somehow fallen a little into the fantasy of their mating, even though she had resisted the urge to mark him. How shitty was that?
"It's almost midnight," announced Nick as he stood. "Ceremony's about to start."
Taryn frowned when she noticed how Trey was scowling at the Alpha. Sure, Trey was pretty antisocial with 99% of the population. She was working on that with him. But when he scowled at someone like that, it usually meant they had pissed him off. Making a mental note to ask Trey about it later, she rose to her feet and pulled him with her to join the loose circle that the pack had made around the mated pair in the clearing. She snuggled into Trey as he pressed against her back and locked his arms around her. As always, she never felt squashed or suffocated by his huge body. He made her feel safe and protected. At exactly midnight, Nick began to speak the ritual words that called to the full moon to bless the mating. She had been a witness at several of these ceremonies in the past, and the intensity of the sacred event never failed to amaze her. Although the ritual words didn't hold any particular power, and the ceremony was a case of the mates demonstrating to each other just how committed they were and wanting to celebrate that, the whole thing still gave her goosebumps and stirred her wolf. What affected Taryn most, however, was witnessing the succession of intense emotions that flittered across the mated pair's faces. To be loved, adored, and worshipped like that by the person you loved in turn had to be the most amazing thing in the world. And it was something she would never have. She only ever experienced the tiniest twinge of jealousy. It was impossible not to be happy for those people who had found it. For a moment, she wondered what it would be like to have that with Trey, but quickly dismissed the dumb thought.
"What do you think they'll do?"
he whispered into her ear. She knew what he was asking. It was traditional that mates celebrated the ceremony by having sex, and whereas most preferred to do so in the privacy of their home after the party, there were some who gave in to their exhibitionistic urges and had sex beneath the full moon, regardless of who might be there to watch. She whispered her response.
"Well, I spoke to Lena only a couple of times, but she seems pretty shy, so I can't see her wanting to get down and dirty with her mate in front of everyone. Then again, it's the quiet ones you have to look out for."
Knowing how dominant and possessive his wolf was, she said,
"I don't have to ask what you'd prefer."
"Oh?"
"You'd love the idea of everyone watching. You're quite the exhibitionist, even for a shifter."
Trey merely shrugged.
"We all have our kinks."
"And so," said Nick, "do you, Robert, and you, Lena, enter this mating with your body, mind, heart, and soul?"
"I do," they said in unison. Nick then blessed the mating, using a string of Latin words that Trey didn't have a hope of understanding. He couldn't help frowning as Lena kissed her mate before biting his unmarked shoulder, branding him for all to see. The one thing that his own little mate had never done, though she'd have every right considering how many damn times he had done it to her, was leave her brand on him. Although she had scratched him and nipped him plenty of times, she had never marked him. His wolf keenly felt the absence of that mark. He didn't understand why she hadn't branded him. Neither did Trey. He knew that she wanted to, knew that her wolf was pushing her to act on the basic urge to mark her male. Taryn's resistance had to be pissing her wolf off and making her feel insecure in the mating. Yet Taryn was fighting her, much like he'd been fighting his own wolf from the beginning, he mused. So maybe he wasn't the only one of them who had been battling emotions he didn't understand. Or maybe he had found his way into La-La Land.
"I was right," whispered Taryn. "She's too shy to have an audience. Come on, let's eat. I'm starving."
Shoving his thoughts aside, Trey allowed her to lead him to the large table beneath the canopy, where a huge feast was set out. Although the ceremonies were considered to be sacred and solemn, the after-party was always jubilant and lively, the general plan being to dance, eat, and get ridiculously drunk. Since neither he nor Taryn was particularly good at dancing, they stuck to stuffing their faces with food and gulping down plenty of beer, though not too much, considering Trey needed to drive them home. He really didn't want to like these people who would soon take Taryn away from him, or at least that was how he saw it. But a part of him could admit that they seemed to be pretty okay people. If he was going to lose her to another pack, then this was a fairly decent one for her to join. The only wolf he couldn't be too sure about was her uncle. The tall, bald guy had purposely avoided Trey the entire time they were there. Several times Taryn had tried to introduce him, but Don always managed to artfully dodge her. Trey didn't particularly care, though he didn't like that it was upsetting Taryn. That meant that when the party ended at 6 in the morning and Don finally approached him while Taryn was saying goodbye to the pups, Trey really wasn't in the mood to take any shit. And, of course, Don happened to have some shit to throw at him.
"You seem fond of my niece," said Don, squinting, as he crossed his arms over his chest in a very confrontational posture. "And you're certainly possessive of her. Still, I'm not buying the true mate thing. Nor am I buying that you've mated with her because you care for her. Being fond of her,
and wanting her with you for life are two very different things. Don't get me wrong, I'm grateful that you got her away from her father, who was a bastard to her. My issue is that I've heard all about your reputation, Coleman, and I promise you now, if I find out you've got my niece involved in anything dangerous, you'll have me to deal with.
Resisting the urge to grip him by the throat, Trey took a threatening step toward him and cocked his head. It pleased his wolf when the other male backed up a little.
You know what pisses me off most about what you just said? That you think you have the right to act the caring uncle now. Where were you when she was growing up? Like you just said, Lance was always a bastard to her, and yet you left her there with him, believing that there would never be a true mate to come along and take her away. You didn't even keep in touch with her, did you? No. So don't think you get to stand here and be all high and mighty with me, or that being my mate's uncle will save you. Taryn might care about you, but I don't. And I sure as shit won't have anyone saying she's not my mate.
You're right, he conceded, surprising Trey. I wasn't there for her. I will be from here on out, though. I want her to be happy. I want her to have the kind of mating you've seen tonight, and I'm not sure you can give her that. I don't see how you'll bring anything to her life other than danger and trouble.
He was right, of course, and that only nettled Trey's agitated state.
As Taryn would say, if I wanted to hear from an ass, I'd fart.
Trey?
Said Taryn cautiously as she approached and took in the tension.
Everything okay?
Slipping a slender arm between the two male bodies that were almost pressed together, she stroked Trey's chest.
Fine, baby, he replied, using her closeness to calm him. I'm just getting an idea of what it's like for you when you have to listen to my grandmother's shit.
Rolling her eyes and groaning, Taryn looked at Dawn. I really hope you haven't just done the man-to-man talk when you've only been back in my life 5 minutes. Dawn sighed.
That's pretty much what he just said. I just want you to be happy and—
Well, I was, until you put Trey in a bad mood.
I know you, Taryn. Beneath that hard exterior, you're not so different from your mom. You want kids and commitment and a happily ever after. He can't give you that.
If I was pining for the pitter-patter of tiny little feet, I'd buy a kitten and put slippers on it. And what do you know about what Trey can or can't give me? You don't even know him.
I know this mating isn't real. Watch what you say, she snapped.
Her wolf growled inside her head, just as incensed as she was by those words. A much louder growl was coming from Trey.
You deserve better. You can have better. Plenty of wolves would be happy to mate with you. Hell, there are wolves here who'd be happy to mate with you.
Taryn wasn't in the least bit surprised when Trey's eyes flashed wolf, and he made a move toward Dawn. Quickly, she placed herself in front of him and wrapped both arms tightly around his waist.
It's okay. It's okay, she whispered.
He halted, but released a chilling growl. Dawn was quieter as he said in a shaky voice,
He's not good for you.
If that's how you feel, then I guess we part here.
Taryn, no, we're leaving.
Rubbing her chin on Trey's chest, she said, Come on, Flintstone, let's go. But his entire focus was on Dawn. Dawn tried again.
Taryn, I said no. You insulted my mate. If you were anyone else, I'd go for your throat. Now back off. Let them be, Dawn, ordered Nick, who was walking up behind them.
He nodded respectfully at Taryn and Trey.
Thank you for inviting us, Nick, she said quietly, pressing her body weight against Trey. She tried urging him to move. No effect, unsurprisingly. Come on, let's go home.
The word home seemed to penetrate his must-kill Dawn haze, because a little of the tension left his body and he gave her a very slight nod. Mute and Terminator stiff, he walked her to the car and had them out of Nick's territory in seconds. When minutes later he showed no signs of calming or being less robotic, she was tempted to try to talk to him. However, she somehow sensed that, for whatever reason, Trey needed to be alone with his thoughts right now. Going with that instinct, she turned her focus to the view ahead and said nothing. Trey had thought that the farther he got from that other pack,
the more he would calm. That just wasn't happening. Maybe it was Dawn's claim that Trey wasn't good for Taryn that was agitating him. Or maybe his claim that she wanted things that Trey couldn't give her. Or maybe even Dawn's suggestion that she stay with his pack and mate with another wolf. But no. As much as all that had seriously pissed him off, none of those accusations were responsible for his mood. What had him as annoyed as fuck right now was that Taryn had defended him. No female other than his mother or Greta had ever defended him. Not only had Taryn done that, she had basically chosen him over her uncle. It pissed him off that it meant something to him when it shouldn't have. What annoyed him more was that he couldn't be sure if that had been real or if she had just been sticking with their true mates act. He tried telling himself that it didn't matter, tried telling himself that it wasn't relevant, but it goddamn was to him. He was sick of her doing things that touched him like that and then left him sitting there wondering if he was looking too deep into things or if she was having the same inner struggle as he was. Like the way she snapped if anyone questioned their mating, as she had with Brody and her uncle. Was it because her sense of possessiveness now ran bone deep just as his did, or was it just her wolf? Like how she held back from marking him. Was that because she was already finding it hard to remain detached, or was it only her wolf finding it hard? And like how she had repeatedly tried so hard to help him form so many alliances when he had never asked that of her. Was it because she cared for him in some way and wanted to help him, or was it that she just wanted to help the pack as a whole? He didn't want to go through this weird inner struggle on his own, and, as idiotic as it was, he wanted her to care about him. Mostly because he was afraid that he just might care about her. And so his bad mood remained with him throughout the long journey home, and was still there hours later while he sat on one of the chairs by the lake, soaking up the midday sun. He knew Taryn wouldn't let him brood in peace much longer, so it wasn't a surprise when he heard footsteps. Unfortunately, it turned out that those footsteps didn't belong to Taryn.
"Hey," Dante called out in his usual gruff voice.
"What do you want?"
"Yes, I will have a seat, thank you, Alpha."
"No one likes a smartass."
He took the chair opposite Trey's and straddled it.
"I take it things didn't go well with her uncle."
Trey sighed.
Actually, he was happy to see her. All of them were pretty hospitable.
"Well, I can understand why that might piss you off since, though you'll never admit it, you don't want her to leave, and nor do you seem ready to face just why that might be. But I don't see why it would have Taryn all irritated."
He chose to ignore the first half of what Dante had said.
"Her uncle didn't believe we were true mates, and the mating wasn't real."
Dante winced.
"Oh, yeah, that'll do it. She might know his mating's temporary, but she sure doesn't like anyone saying it's not real."
"He also said I was bad for her, said I couldn't give her those things a woman wants. Then he suggested she stay there and mate with another wolf."
"Prick."
After a pause, Trey said,
"She defended me, you know."
"Of course she did. You're her mate. Mates don't stand for that shit."
"Yeah. Her wolf wouldn't want anyone insulting her mate, would she?"
Dante snickered.
"You're one blind bastard."
"Blind?
Or maybe just dumb."
Shaking his head, he looked away and sighed. When he looked at Trey again, there was a mischievous glint in his eyes.
"Well, I don't see what you've got to be pissed about. Her uncle's an ass, but he's right. You are bad for her. You can't give her the things a female wants because the mating's temporary. And yeah, there's a good chance she'll go and mate with another wolf when she leaves."
When Trey growled warningly, Dante's face took on a superior, smug, know-it-all look.
"You know, you could just ask her to stay for good."
At that moment, Trey hated him. Hated him for seeing far more than he should. Hated him for making Trey see exactly how much he wanted that, which seriously scared the shit out of him. He hated his wolf, too. Hated him for constantly fighting Trey over the idea of Taryn leaving, for being so unreasonably possessive of her. He also hated Tao for wanting Taryn. He hated the wolf she might one day mate with, and he hated her uncle for speaking the truth he'd been trying to ignore. Mostly, he hated him fucking self for caring about a female who didn't even care enough to mark him.
"Why would I do that?"
"The two of you are good together. You actually laugh these days. You behave a lot like true mates do."
"Look, Dante, I'll admit I like her.
She's fun to have around and she knows what she's doing in the bedroom. But it wouldn't have mattered if I hadn't liked her or if she was someone else. We still would have mated and fucked. This is about a deal, that's all.
Trey was aware that he'd sounded pretty harsh,